This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So, it's the most wonderful time of the year. No, I am not talking about all of the upcoming holidays. I am talking about our annual wellness trends episode. This is an episode that we do every year where as a team, we sit down and come up with what we think are going to be the biggest trends in healthcare and wellness as we move into the upcoming year. And this has been a year unlike any other, notwithstanding the fact that we have all been moving through the influence of a global pandemic, which really, I was going to say no one could have predicted, but there were probably some people predicting it this time last year. None of us had expected as we moved into 2021, one of the subsequent secondary influences of the pandemic are the influences we've seen on mental health, the influences we have seen on food consumption, the influences that we have seen on social determinants of health. Very rarely do we see the desire and engagement in technology and innovation on the physician healthcare delivery side simultaneously moving along with a consumer desire for better health outcomes. Often it is that we have a technology that comes onto the market and we have to spend a lot of time, money, and energy getting consumers to get on board. Or we see consumers pushing for a trend in healthcare, but we can't move the healthcare needle fast enough. What 2020 has actually done is accelerated this process for everyone, because everyone needed to move the needle on outcomes at the same time. It meant that bureaucracy didn't get in the way the same way it has historically and the same way it will again. And it also meant that consumers had no choice to adopt things like telemedicine, for example. And so we're living in an unprecedented time, not simply because of the pandemic and the secondary health influences that it has created, but also the consumer trends and the way we are uptaking healthcare and desiring access to wellness. And that landscape has in part informed the trends that we are predicting as we move into 2021. So let's jump into the list. The first trend that we are all acknowledging is the abundance of in-home fitness options. Now, I suspect that Peloton and electronic fitness devices and in-home fitness devices were on my list last year. But what we are seeing is their influence and our access to them at an unprecedented rate. I have been raving about my Peloton for the last year. I bought mine last November, and it is something that I have used weekly, multiple times a week since. In the last year, we've seen Lululemon purchase a company called The Mirror, which is a mirror that literally fits on your wall that enables you to work out with a trainer virtually from home. Just the other day, we bought a soccer ball for my daughter that enables her to have a leaderboard and all sorts of skills that she can continue to work on with her smart soccer ball from home. We are going to continue to see an emergence of not only in-home fitness devices, but the subsequent business model of us all being part of their online memberships for fitness classes. This is only going to continue to grow. As a healthcare consumer and as a naturopathic doctor, someone who's interested in addressing the root cause of disease, I love this because what it's doing is it's actually making fitness easier for busy families. We don't have to go out and get to the gym. We can go down while the dishes are drying after dinner. Anything that we can do in the busiest phases of life to lower the barrier of entry to more people exercising and moving their bodies, I'm going to vote for that option. It's going to force innovation in the fitness industry, and I fully appreciate that it's created a significant level of challenge for those individuals who were previously delivering one-on-one in-person training. When I talk about these trends, I'm not talking about my perspective or opinion on any of those pieces, just what I anticipate we're going to see more of, and in-home fitness is definitely going to continue to grow. The second trend I want to acknowledge, again, the influence of us living through 2020 and the outcomes related to a pandemic, is group health delivery. Traditionally, there was one way that we were able to access a practitioner, one-on-one. It made for great expense within our healthcare systems, Canada and the US and globally. But the real challenge with it is that while it may be good for highly individualized healthcare needs, when we're talking about chronic care, when we're talking about chronic long-term disease, diabetes is a perfect example. What we know is that the influence on this disease is something we called biopsychosocial, meaning it's in part lifestyle, it's in part how we live, it's in part the influence of our environment, but it's a very much a lifestyle-oriented condition. And what we're finding is that when we have a biopsychosocial influence on health, we do better and achieve better outcomes when we actually deliver care, wait for it, in a group setting. There is an abundance of research emerging around the delivery of group healthcare. We're finding it less expensive for the system. We're finding better outcome for the patients. And what we're finding as a bonus outcome in the delivery of healthcare in this model is that people are actually able to connect with other individuals who are moving through the same system. What we're finding is that being able to connect with other people who are sharing a similar life experience actually drives better outcomes for the individuals who are managing that disease. Long and short, get more doctors out of the room, put more people who are managing the same thing together, lower the cost of healthcare delivery, and put people back where we belong in communities. Watch for more opportunities to engage in group health as we move into 2021. I think this is going to be a game changer for how we achieve better health outcomes. Now, while we are on the subject of healthcare, let's just make note of trend number 3, and that is telehealth. I did a podcast interview with someone named Allison Taylor way back at the beginning of the pandemic, and she is the founder and CEO of an electronic health record company called Jane App. She's an incredible female entrepreneur. But one of the conversations that we had during that podcast, and actually just before it went to air, was how the adoption, again, of healthcare technology has moved about 3 years faster than anyone anticipated that it would because of the pandemic. Telehealth is something probably most of us have experienced in 2020, either as a practitioner or as a consumer of healthcare. And I expect that this is only going to become more and more sophisticated. The changing of the new year is not going to rapidly change the landscape as it pertains to this pandemic. And we're going to take the parts that worked the best and integrate them into healthcare moving forward. Telehealth is more efficient for physicians, it's more efficient for healthcare consumers. And what I anticipate we're going to see on the telemedicine side is we're going to see an increased incorporation of analytics. That's where we're wearing all of our cool devices, and all of that can be uploaded into the cloud to help inform where we are at with respect to our health. So it's not just more telehealth that we're going to see. I think we're going to see increased tracking devices and analytics that we have access to in our everyday health that are going to provide us with better opportunities for health outcomes down the road. I am super excited about this. Wellness trend number 4. Everyone's been joking about this on social media, but the truth is, below the surface, we're actually seeing significant increases in alcohol consumption. We're also seeing increases in the use of opioids. We're seeing increased uses of benzodiazepines and antidepressants. People are turning to chemicals to address their mental health. The issue here is the mental health piece, but the consequence, and we're seeing this across the landscape, is increased alcohol consumption. And one of the trends I suspect we will see as we move into 2021 are way cooler options as alcohol alternatives. We're already starting to see a number of these products on the market. And for a long time, we were all sort of drinking our club soda, pretending we were drinking something else. But what I think is going to become more mainstream in 2021 are really fun and interesting alcohol alternatives. So not just kombucha as an alternative to what everyone else is drinking, but genuine dry options for those of you who are still looking to participate in a little bit of fun. I've been really enjoying looking at some of the products that are on the market, and I think we are only going to see more of them. Wellness trend number 5. This is more of a theme than a specific piece, but I am starting to see this in more and more conversations, and more people are coming to this realization with respect to their health. And that is this 5th wellness trend I am calling radical responsibility. What I mean by this is people are realizing that their government is not going to save them, that their doctor does not have all of the answers. That ultimately, if they want to ensure that they have optimal health, that is going to have to fall on their own shoulders. Sometimes it takes really significant events for that to happen, but I believe this concept of radical responsibility is actually going to drive some changes in two particular areas. The first is with wearables. As more people are interested in taking responsibility, they're going to want access to more and more data related to their own health. We'll see this in the form of increased analytics and tools that we will have access to. I think we're going to see increased consumer access to lab testing and capacities for us to learn and understand what those tests are about. I also think that we are going to start to see an increased and more informed uptake around strategic supplementation. Supplementation is no longer going to be this controversial thing in the aisle. It's actually going to become more mainstream as we recognize that the influences on our health are in part in our control, but in many cases are something that we need to take responsibility for above and beyond what our doctors have been telling us. Watch for radical responsibility to be something that informs many of the wellness trends and products that you see as we move into 2021. Wellness trend number 6. So right off the backside of this notion of radical responsibility, I think one of the things that we are going to see with increased interest are healthy meal kits. We know from consumer data coming out of 2021 that there is definitely an increased desire for people to access health. The problem is we're seeing huge numbers of the population that simultaneously acknowledge they don't know how to do it. In particular, they don't know how to cook. Of note, and I'm not picking on you guys, but of note is the millennial and Gen Z population who are saying, look, no one ever taught us how to cook. I can't tell you how many times in my own practice, listen, no shame on the millennial group. If you didn't learn to cook at home, you're not going to know how to cook out in the world. And so all these cool foods and cool recipes and amazing books are great, but if we don't know how to put together, then we are out of luck. Healthy meal kits are a really great option because they allow us to have diversity of food, they allow us to start to achieve those health outcomes, and they certainly compensate for the fact that some of us don't necessarily have all the skills we need in the kitchen. I was starting to say this before, you couldn't believe the number of times I shared with people how to simply poach an egg as part of my clinical practice. These are really simple fundamental skills that are really going to be helping you access increased health. And I think the healthy meal kits are going to form an excellent bridge as more and more people are interested in one, eating at home, and two, eating foods that are going to drive better health outcomes in the future. Wellness trend number 7. While we're all working hard to be able to eat healthily in the kitchen, I also think that we're going to see more and more conversations in 2021 around this notion of self-compassion. No longer is health and wellness going to be about a type A exercise only for those most intense people who are looking to squeeze just a little bit more out of life. I think we are going to see more and more discussions about how we make health and wellness accessible and how a huge portion of that is around self-compassion. This has been a challenging year. This has not been the year to push forward. This has been the year to be able to cope and keep your head above water. And I think these conversations around self-compassion are becoming more mainstream. They are becoming healthier, and they're becoming something that many of us are starting to acknowledge. I think we're going to see this more and more in a wellness conversation trend this year as we start to discuss mental health and as we start to make health more accessible for other people. It's no longer going to be how much do you know, but it's going to be about how can we share that health? How can we compassionately let ourselves off the hook, not be hard on ourselves for not knowing how to cook or for having not exercised before, but for starting simply where we are right now. Wellness trend number 8. You know, it's all well and good for us to eat well and for us to take our supplements and for us to watch our data. But are there other ways that we are actually able to access health? So yes, we can engage in self-compassion and self-care. We can go for a massage. We can take a day off. We can do all those incredible things. But I actually think one of the things we're going to start to see a little bit more of in 2021 is the use of light therapy. Again, as mental health becomes forefront in our conversations, especially as we move into this winter, I think we're going to be looking at more discussions around how we can have access to full spectrum lighting and the influence that that will have on our mental health, on cases of seasonal affective disorder. I'm also really interested to see what happens as we move into 2021 with things like red light therapy. I had the opportunity to do an interview with the founder of Juve a few months ago. You can find it in our archives, where we talk about the capacity of red light to increase mitochondrial function, decrease inflammation, treat chronic skin conditions. As more and more people are looking for alternatives to supplementation or feel like they've already maxed out on the dietary experience, I suspect we're going to see more conversations about light therapy and, in fact, sound therapy and increased evidence around their benefits to our health. They're also two therapeutic modalities that are easy to do at home, which, as I mentioned already, is going to be an ongoing theme as we move into the next year. Wellness trend number 9, packaged superfoods. Now, let me give this some context, because superfoods are nothing new. We've been sprinkling acai powder onto our smoothie bowls for years. But what we are seeing as more and more people, again, are ordering food in, are looking at labels, are looking to augment their health through the choices that we make every single day, is we're seeing increased food technologies and our capacity to access super nutrients in highly innovative manner. So whether it's new mushroom powders that we are adding to our tea or coffee, or things that we can add to our supplements, or even in some cases, you've got to check this out. It's called the Lucky Iron Fish. It's literally an iron fish that you can put into your soup while you're cooking so that you can increase your iron levels. We are going to see more capacity to inject nutrients into our daily cooking and into our daily rhythms. They're going to taste better, they're going to be less expensive, and they're going to be more options on the table. Look for them at a health food store or Whole Foods near you. And finally, trend number 10. As we all wake up, as we all realize that we're not going to go back to the same world, as we all realize we've got some work to do, and we are at home preparing our own tea and coffee or beverage of choice, trend number 10 is actually coffee itself. Not that we are going to consume more coffee, we may, but that we're going to be doing really cool things with it. More and more, I am seeing additives on the vein of the superfoods that we can add specifically to coffee that influence our brain health, that influence our mitochondrial health, that offset influence on our hormones. I suspect coffee is going to take center stage in 2021, and we're going to have unprecedented access to amazing home coffee options, not in a manner that's going to lead to poor health and dehydration, but in a manner that is actually going to augment the way we live our health every single day. You know, one of the things I would ask my patients, and I got really obsessed about in the context of clinical practice, is I asked people to share with me the things they did as daily habits, the things they did as rituals, the things that happened multiple times per week. There is a trend amongst the list of things that I mentioned here where they relate to the habits that we engage in on a regular basis. I don't care if several times a year you go and binge on cupcakes, or you head down to Vegas and do whatever you do down there. What happens a few times per year doesn't nearly have the influence on your health as the things that you do every single day, positively or negatively. As I look at this trend list and I ask you to evaluate the habits and where you're investing your time and energy in your own health as you move into 2021, I would encourage you to have a mindful eye on those habits and things that you engage in multiple times a week. If you want to move the needle on your health, if you want to eliminate the COVID-19 that you gained over the course of the last year, if you want to change your drinking habits, if you want to improve your liver health, if you want to increase your fitness, your flexibility, whatever the case may be, it's not going to happen by engaging engaging in a one-off product. It's going to happen by making choices around the things that you do every single day. And that's the common feature among this list. And it's frankly the common feature among the health habits that I'm going to engage in as I move into 2021. So watch for that episode coming up in the next few weeks where I talk about the biggest health habits that I am going to lean into as we move into the new year. And if you want to carry on this discussion about some of the biggest trends that I anticipate we're going to see as we move into 2021, you can come and hang out with us in our online community, the Anthropology Collective. I am there along with a whole cohort and collective of incredible women. We are hanging out on Facebook, Anthropology Collective, and we will be here again this time next week. I'm Dr. Megan Walker. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. We will see you again next Tuesday morning.